It is time to bring in Pat Pagano this morning with a check on the forecast. Good morning, Pat.
And good morning, and how are you?
Good. It was, you know, at my house, it was about 32, 33 this morning, and in places that still had a little bit of snow or wetness on them, it was slippery. But very quickly, the temperature has risen. It's 38 here right now, but it was a little slippery in some parts because the ground, of course, stays much colder than the air.
Oh, yeah, and 3 inches of snow in Rutland, Vermont this morning. So that'll give you an idea of how much colder it is as one moves north. That, too, will change over to rain. We have a few showers left here, but there's another band of showers. If we look at the radar, I'm not sure what's going to happen to it, but it stretches right now, I would say, from about Buffalo, Rochester, southward to Erie, and it's moving eastward. We'll have to see how much of that survives as it moves across New York State. So that was one of the reasons, Marshall, why I kept a few showers in the forecast. Cloudy, and it will get windy, but mild, 45 to 50. And then the showers will end, if there's any around, early tonight, partly cloudy, only 40. Moving into Friday, partly sunny, windy, mid-40s. Weekend, sunny to partly cloudy, low to middle 40s, both Saturday and Sunday. How's that?
Will there be any wind on Saturday or Sunday?
There'll be a breeze.
A breeze, not a big breeze, though, huh?
No, I don't think anything big. No.
All right. You know, before I got to you, I was talking about my years of beginning in radio in the midnight shift and how different radio is now. I used to leave the doors open, and I had people coming in and out of the studio all night long. Can you imagine trying to do that today?
No.
You'd be fired, first of all, and second of all, you'd probably have somebody come in and take over the radio station.
Yeah, it's a whole new world, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I was talking about coming in. The first thing I had to do when I came in at work at 11 o'clock, I got in an hour forehead. We had big UPI, AP, and Reuters. Remember those big, big machines that used to print out the news?
Oh, yeah.
We had three of those, and it was my duty to change the paper and the ribbons each night at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, what are they called? I'm not absolutely sure. What are they called? M80s?
I forget what they were called. All I know is they were beasts. They were beasts.
Oh, yeah. And you had to change the ribbon in the paper. You used that newspaper print paper.
Newspaper
which was print. Either like a tan or sometimes the yellow.
Yeah, and it was in a roll. But changing the ribbon was the worst. You came out of there, and my hands were always totally black. Black.
Right. We used to, wait till you hear this, back in the day, we used to have three-part paper in there because we needed to give copies to each of the guys, and they went into different recording booths. It wasn't like today. So that made it worse because back then, before the, what was it called, NCR, when you had carbonless paper, you know, that would print on, there were carbons, you know, in the paper, so you would rip them off, and not only you would have to get the carbon out so that you could distribute the sheets, but like you said, you would get carbon from on your fingers from that, and you'd get ink on your fingers from changing the spools.
Yeah, it was amazing. They were teletype machines, and they thundered, and they all had when headlines came in that was urgent news, they all had bells on them. But anyways, it was fun to reminisce and think about 50 years ago when I got into the business.
Yeah, the old ones that actually had the typing on it, they were called an ASR-33.
Yeah.
But I wonder what the ones after that were called.
I don't know, but they were beasts, and it was kind of cool. Well, anyways, that was my reminiscing back in, in those days.
Yeah. Was good. A lot of fun.
You know, what's interesting about this time of year with the weather, we get mud during the day, and then it gets cool enough at night where the mud turns, it's not really solid, but it's very close to solid. So where I park, there's a lot of tire prints. It's, you know, from my car.
From the, yeah.
And the mud. So we actually are getting, normally you don't worry about mud season until the end of winter, but we have mud season right now. We do, because...
I know, and normally that doesn't happen at this time of the year, so no. Right.
No, but anyway, it was December 2nd, Pat, can you believe it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I think, you know, because you know me, I think they were called... Yes, they were called M15s.
M15s,
yeah, that's what they were called.
They were big, big, heavy. I mean, and then we had to bring those heavy boxes of paper out to put under them. And then you had to feed the paper through this complicated system.
Oh, yeah. I remember all of it so well. Huh. And, you know, there were times that the paper get jammed and, and it would just keep retyping over itself. And you'd say, oh, my goodness, especially if you, in the weather business, we were waiting for the reports to come from the airport. And if it got stuck and they all typed all over themselves, we couldn't see the reports.
Yeah.
But I remember, boy, this is going back a long way. I used to have, they were pretty big. I don't know the size. I would say the size of a desk blotter. They were blank maps of the United States. And they had the airport circles on them with the codes. That's it. And I would put one down on the desk. I'd wait for all the teletype reports to come out, rip them off the machine, put them on the side, and with my pencil, my number two pencil, I would plot every airport data. The wind, the mobs, and the pressure, and not the temperature, but what the precip was doing. And then when everything was plotted, which generally took about a half hour, I would draw in the isobars and find the fronts, and that's how we would go about making a forecast.
It was so much different back then, really.
Oh, goodness. Computers have made it, yeah. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I sit at home and I do pre-work. I come in here. Everything comes off the computer. I don't have to print any news out or anything like that. I just, I save it on the screen. Yeah, pretty amazing.
It really is. Well, anyhow... that's about that. I don't, you know, early next week, well, let's put it this way. Next week, I think it will be much more of a wintry week. I'm thinking the cold front that's going to come in on Monday, while it's going to bring mild air ahead of it, I think there's going to be a sharp turn to cold air behind it, and we're probably going to get a punch of snow Monday night, early Tuesday morning. How much, I don't know. But that's going to be a problem. And then there's another system on its heels on Wednesday, next Wednesday. That could bring a potpourri of precipitation. So next week is not going to be as easy as this week.
And it'll be seasonal, and we might even see snow, and then that mixture of rain and snow and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that really stinks.
That means I have to get ready for it. Well, you know, today, because once again the weather's so warm, my knees now have had two great days in a row.
But that's good, isn't it?
It's very good. It's just amazing. It's just, the difference is absolutely amazing. As the day goes on, it's not. But when you first get up in the morning, it makes a huge, huge difference. Huge difference.
Oh, I could imagine. I could imagine. Yeah, well, I give you a lot of credit, Marshall. I mean, not only are you coping with your knees, but great weight loss. I mean, you've really come. And the last couple of years, you've really come a long, long way.
Well, I tell you what, if I didn't lose the weight, I would be in a, I predict I would have been in a wheelchair by now. That's what I predict. I would have been in a wheelchair by now.
Oh, God forbid. Yeah.
Yeah, but not now. All right, so we've got into this weekend, not bad weather then.
No, I think it's going to be fine. I mean, this is, you know, sit back, easy, relax kind of weather. All right. And I think, did I tell you I'm changing the place that I go to get my tree? I'm going to get the tree tomorrow, but I'm not going up to Garrison. I'm going to Pomona.
Oh, so you hadn't decided yet. Pomona.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Pomona. It's a 15-minute ride, and they have, I think it's Douglas Fir. They have Douglas Fir. So I'm going to go up there. It's going to be the same price. It's a shorter distance, and their trees are guaranteed. So there you go.
And you don't have to chop it down, right?
No, they're already down, and they have 6 to 7 feet, 7 to 8 feet, and depending upon what you take, that's the price. But it's going to probably go somewhere between $80 and $100.
Yeah. All right. Well, let us know when you get it, so I can see. Tell us what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, I'll set it up as usual, but I don't think it'll be this coming weekend. Probably during next week. We'll see.
All right.
In the meantime, I will see you tomorrow morning, Friday.
All right, Pat. Have a good day.
Bye-bye, Marcia.
Pat Pagano this morning in the Weather Center here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.